There's some flip that has white chocolate munchies. What is it?
White the chocolate? Key lime?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Speaking of white chocolate, another delicacy. So there's a famous question which is posed by Rashi in light of earlier sources that from the very beginning of the parsha this week, Parshas Behar, by Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Avihamarta Lehem, Ki Savo el Haaretz Asher Nino Sein Lachem, Visha Visa Haaretz Shabbas Lashem, that the land will rest for the sabbatical year, what we colloquially call the Shemitah, is the Aramaic term. So the question, which has become an idiom in the Hebrew language, Ma Inyan Shemitah Itul Har Sinai. What in the world does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? Why is the Torah stressing that this mitzvah was set at Mount Sinai? So rather than say anything too specific about Shemitah, so the response given, Rashi quotes the name of the Midrash, is just this point. What's the connection? That Ma Shemitah Ne'emra Klaloseha Upertoseha B'Sinai Af Kol Mitzvah U'Mitzvah Ne'emra Klaloseha Upertoseha B'Sinai. That just as Sinai was the host site for Shemitah's transmission, both in terms of its general laws and all of its details. There are, as with every mitzvah, many general laws and then very specific laws. So too, every single mitzvah was given in its generalities and with its particulars at Sinai. So the question really remains in force, even according to Rashi's answer, but why specifically highlight Shemitah? You could have done that with any mitzvah to note that it was tracing its origins back to Har Sinai. So perhaps we can discern something about the Shemitah year that makes it particularly appropriate to stress that this comes from Har Sinai. That's question number one. What is the true connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? How can we build off the approach that Rashi first states? Number one. Number two is smack in the middle of the presentation that the Torah has of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah builds up to Yovel. Seven Shemitah cycles is followed by the year of Jubilee. Sounds great. The Torah intersplices one interesting halacha, the Lo Tonu Ish et Amito, that we're not allowed to denigrate one another. And the Gemara Bava Metzia explains, you know, what is denigration? What does that entail? So the Gemara gives examples, basically, of humiliating somebody. If somebody is observant now and, you know, was not observant in a particularly dramatic way at some point in the past, to remind them of this, or a person, you know, has whatever it is that makes them uncomfortable, to point that out about a person. So again, the question would then be, what is the specific connection between Shemitah, Har Sinai, and this mitzvah? It seems there's nothing to do with Shemitah whatsoever. It just sort of stuck into the middle of the Torah's presentation of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. So how are we to make sense of this altogether? So I think we have to go back to one very important concept about Har Sinai that preparing for Shavuos is important to keep in mind. Even before we talk about the substance of the transmission at Sinai, the Torah says that the Jewish people encamped opposite the mountain. But if you look at the Hebrew original, which is always a good thing, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, the Jewish people encamped opposite the mountain. Vayichan Sham, it doesn't say Vayachanu, that the Jewish people encamped in the plural, but Vayichan, they encamped in the singular. So Rashi, citing earlier sources, notes ki ish echad bilev echad, that they were as one person, that coming to the foot of Sinai integrated them, unified them, so that they could receive the Torah kulanu ke'echad be'or panecha, as we say in the Sim Shalom blessing. So be that as it may, I think that's exactly the point that the Torah is trying to draw in its conjunction of the concepts of Shemitah and Har Sinai. Shemitah is not just a year when the fields lay fallow, but as the Torah says, it's really meant to be an equalizer. Ve'achlu evyonei amecha, that the people who are impoverished or at the margins of society are brought back in to the fold. They're made to feel that they are not less than, which is very hard the other 6 years, because it's all about land and property and profits and crops and how are they going to participate. But the entire concept of the Shemitah year is that what we're actually meant to be doing specifically during that time is trying to detox ourselves from some of the pathologies of materialism. Saying, okay, it's true that this is technically my field, but this year, and this is the halacha of Shemitah, everything is hefker, everything is equal access. Anybody can come and take from the fruits of my field, quite literally. And it's meant to help us overcome some of the worst excesses of a material society. Because everybody is unified together. Now, if I had to tell you, you know, one place where that, you know, happened, that, of course, is the spirit of Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. And so the entire institution of Shemitah, what Shemitah is really meant to facilitate, is the sense that we are all together as one. Now, if that's true, I think we can then immediately and instinctively, we without even hesitation, understand why it is that the Torah puts in that prohibition against hurting somebody's feelings, just verbally assaulting somebody in conjunction with Shemitah and Yovel. And the answer is self-evident, right? That if you really felt that we were one, you know, together, that this wasn't some other person with his own history and his own background and all his sensitivities and insecurities, but that spirit of unification, which is so definitional to Shemitah and Har Sinai, is meant to express itself in a sensitivity to each and every individual. V'lo tonu ish es amiso, that nobody should insult, humiliate, or embarrass any other member of the people, because Shemitah, in its own right, is a reminder that even though we may think of ourselves as superior to those who have less, or you know, who don't have their own land, etc., etc., nothing could be further from the truth, and we're all organically part of the same people. You know, it's really interesting, the Torah prescribes a mitzvah called Hakel, that every 7 years, you're supposed to get together and recreate the experience of the giving of the Torah. But if I were to ask you, when is that done? This is a very esoteric halacha. When is the mitzvah of Hakel performed? It's actually performed right after the Shemitah year. So going through the experience of Shemitah itself prepares you to receive the Torah again. Because what is Shemitah? It's about establishing Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. So what you have is the preparation for that. You form a unit together, and then immediately thereafter, one can re-experience the receiving of the Torah, the Hakel itself. So again, the spirit of that which we're reading about this week is the idea of unity and integration of the entire Jewish people. And what that means really in practice in terms of feeling unified is not just that now we can receive the Torah again as a community, the mitzvah of Hakel, but it has implications for how we treat each and every individual. One individual, and especially those individuals who would be marginalized, who are easy to pick on, v'lo tonu ishes amiso. And I think that in so many ways, this is really what it means to be part of a community, is that you know, the natural state of affairs in any social grouping is that, you know, you have like levels of power. You go to a school, right? You have the cool kids and then the kids who struggle, who, you know, don't get invited out, and the kids who are neglected, the kids who have a hard time socially. And it's true of schools, and it's true of adults, and it's true of every social organization. The aspiration, the true measure of the strength of a community is how dafka it treats the people who would be marginalized. So if you think about Yahadus, that's the point. That's the whole point, right? Who are we supposed to be most worried about? The ger, the yatom, and the almana, people who would in any other context be marginalized. Who are we thinking about during the Shemitah year? The evyonei amecha, the people who are from your nation and they're evyonim. And 6 years, they're somewhat marginalized because they don't have their own crops, and they're constantly having to beg from other people. And this year, they're equated with everybody. Everybody's in the same boat together because nobody has any more access to land than anybody else. It's a radical thing. It's impossible for us to imagine because, you know, we would never surrender ownership, even on a temporary basis. But the Shemitah year is such a powerful statement that we really are truly integrated and united, and that the strength of a society is measured by how it treats those who are at the margins, the ger, the atom, the almana, the evyonim. And in that sense, Shemitah becomes the test of the spiritual health of our society. Small wonder then that the Torah prescribes that if people disregard the Shemitah, the punishment is galut, is exile. It's not just because the land should have lain fallow and you didn't allow it to rest, but it demonstrates the fact that your society is fatally flawed. Shemitah is a referendum on the extent to which we're about the powerful people in society or about the marginalized people in society. So if we're not about the marginalized people in society, then we have to be kicked out of Israel and we have to re-enter all over again. Do over. Take two. It didn't work. You didn't get the message. Ki gerim hayisam beretz Mitzrayim. So now reenact it. Try to come back and do it right this time with a sensitivity. So the calling card of Shemitah in that sense is a sensitivity to those who are at the margins. The greatness of Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, is that nobody was marginalized and everybody had equal access at that very rare, completely unique moment in Jewish history.